So we're going to continue actually where we left off last time. If you recall, we had seen the differences of opinion as to what the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles are. So just to reacquaint us, we had seen, actually I'll read through it quickly. Okay, I'm not going to go through everything we did last time, but if you start, it's about a third of the way down in the page where there's a colon after the first word. See the colon, the two dots? Okay, that's where we were last time. That's where we started. Okay, and I'll just point out the different things which we've been noting in terms of helping us figure out where the pauses are and therefore how to put together the punctuation of the page. Okay, so we're Chaf Aleph Mabez in Shabbos, and it's the Gemara about Hanukkah. Tav Reish stands for Tana Rabbanan. And just as a reminder, on the back of your page, we have from Rabbi Feigenbaum's book that we've been using, the very top just explains what Tana Rabbanan is. It introduces a known and generally accepted Braita, usually introducing a new topic. And that's what we have here. The Gemara is introducing a new topic for us, meaning in the context of the Gemara, which we haven't learned this stuff beforehand, but in the context of the Gemara, it's explaining a new idea. And that is the mitzvah of Chanukah. Mitzvahs Chanukah, ner ish ubeso. Remember last week we distinguished a lot between the two kinds of vav. One vav, which is like when you're combining two different ideas, two similar ideas, like blue and gold, like two colors, for example, versus a kind of and, which is separating from two different ideas. Okay, like I like to go to the store and I like to buy candy. That's two different ideas, even though they may be related, but it's two different ideas. So I would clearly stop after the word store before I start the new idea. So the first vav that we had here is ner ish ubeso, that the main mitzvah of Chanukah is to do a candle for a man that a man does for his household. Ner ish ubeso. That's the basic mitzvah. One candle that a man does for his house. V'amahadrin, and the people who go a level up, ner lekol echad ve'echad. Again, we pointed out that the vav of the second ve'echad is combines the word echad with ve'echad. So that would mean a single candle for each person of the household. So that means that each night you're lighting the number of candles that correspond to the number of people in the household. So if there are five people in the house, each night would be five people. Five candles.
And really not lighting the number of Chanukiyot.
Correct.
Not candles.
Correct. That's what the number of people in the house.
Each day the same number of candles.
Correct. Each day the same number of candles.
But a Chanukiyah for each one.
There's no such thing as a Chanukiyah in this second perspective.
Okay.
Because there's no such thing as a Chanukiyah. It is how many people are in the house is one candle per person. The first one was one candle for the household. That each night, what are you lighting? A candle in your window.
Three people, you light six candles?
No, you light three.
Three candles.
Three on the first night, three on the second night, three on the third night, three on the fourth night. There's another view about what that means. There's another view about what that means, which we actually discussed in Shul, that each... No, hold on a second. I don't want to get it. Let's read what the Gemara says, and then we're going to get to it, okay? The next one is what you're talking about, which is mehadrin mina mehadrin. Okay, and we noted the fact of the repetition of the word mehadrin, and therefore we saw that mehadrin mina mehadrin is a new idea. And what is the definition of mehadrin mina mehadrin, which is the highest level of doing the mitzvah? So we saw Beit Shammai, Beit Shin stands for Beit Shammai Omrim, that Beit Shammai, the house of Shammai, they said, Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona, the first day you light eight. Mikan va'elach poches v'holech. From there and onward, you do one less and go on that way. So it becomes 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. But that's per person of the house. Okay, that is what mehadrin means. Mehadrin. In other words, mehadrin means each person in the house lights one. Mehadrin mina mehadrin means each person lights a chanukiah, and then depending on if you follow Beis Shammai, then it's this way, and if it's Beis Hillel, then it grows. Okay, that was the next idea. Ubeis Hillel, Omrim, Yom Rishon, and we noted the pauses based on the repetition. Just like it was Beis Shammai Omrim, Beis Hillel Omrim. Yom Rishon, Madlik, you light. Beis Shammai said you light eight first, and Beis Hillel says you light Achat, you light one. Mikan Va'elach, Mosif, V'Holech, and each day after that, you add. So the first night is one, second night two, and again, it would be per people of the household. Now, the only thing which is missing from here is an opinion that says that there's a Chanukiah and that one person lights a Chanukiah. Okay, that is an opinion which is not clear in the Gemara. Okay? Because remember, Mahadran was that you're lighting one candle per person in the house.
Right.
So Mahadran means that you're lighting a Chanukiah per person in the house. There is another view, which is talked about in Halacha, of just having one Chanukiah for the house, which is not mentioned in what we just saw in the Gemara. Okay, that's almost where we finished. We finished introducing what's going to come next. Okay, so we're up to Amar Ula. We just did this one line, and let's take a look. Amar Ula. Now you have to know who that Ula is, the name of a person. So that's just something which you learn along the way in Gemara study. Amar Ula. Ula says, Pligi ba trei amorai b'ma'arava. That's where we finished last time. Pligi, we discussed how it means like half or split, and it comes from the word which means a debate. Okay, palig also means when two people are split on something. So it's another word for a debate. Pligi ba trei amorai, that's two amoraim, two rabbis of the Talmud, b'ma'arava. We saw that the word ma'arava means in the West, and the West means
Israel.
In Israel, okay, because this is the Talmud Bavli, it's Babylonian Talmud, and so whenever it discusses or it mentions Ma'arava, it's referring to things which took place in the land of Israel. Okay, so that's where we ended. We had noted that Ula is talking about a machloket, a debate which exists between two Amoraim, two rabbis of the Talmud from the West. So what do you think is going to follow immediately after he tells us that two rabbis talk about it? Well, first he's going to tell us who they are, okay? And who are they? So let's see if we can figure out where their names end. Okay, it shouldn't be too challenging, but let's see if you can figure it out. Okay, that's one. Okay, so we have two full names here. They both happen to be named Yossi. One is Rabbi Yossi Bar. Bar means the son of Bar Avin. And the other one is Vid. There's a Vav, which tells us is another guy. Vid Rabbi Yossi Bar Zveda, or Zvida, however that name is pronounced. Okay, those are the names. Those are the names. How do I know that the second name ends there? Well, I mean, I should know that a name might include a Bar or a Ben, so and so. So since the first one is Rabbi Yossi Bar, Bar tells me that his father's name is going to follow. So Avin, and then there's a Vav. So the Vav tells me that this is a new guy, and also a Resh, which indicates Rav. So that's Virav. Virav Yossi Bar Zveda. Now how do I know the guy's name is Zveda, not Zveda Chad, or not Zveda Chad Amar? Because what does the word Amar usually mean? That somebody says. What does the word Chad mean?
One.
So that's not the person's name. Okay, because remember, Ula tells us that there's a debate between two people. He tells us their names, Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin and Rabbi Yossi Bar Zveda. And now he's going to tell us that there are two opinions, what each one says. So the next two words are Chad Amar. Okay, one of them says. So now what one of them, now he doesn't tell us which one says which is a different conversation as to how you figure that out. Okay, you have to have a familiarity, follow whatever footnotes you have here. For example, if you just skip three lines for a second, what do you see? There's a star. See the asterisk after the first word? And look at where that sends us. That sends us to the what, everybody? The asterisk sends us to the
mountain.
Well, where does it send us to? Just tell me what's the title of the area where this asterisk sends us? Not the bottom of the page. The asterisk sends us to which way? Left, right? Well, it depends on which side of the Gemara you're looking at. Okay, but it sends us all the way into the margin. Which margin?
Oh, here it's the right margin, I think.
Nope, here it is not the right margin. The asterisk tells you to go straight across. What you got, Roger? Which one? Correct. Okay, in the left column, which if you look at the very top of the page, over the left column, it's called the Misoras HaShas. Shas. Shas stands for Shisha Sidarim. Shisha Sidarim. Which means that this is it's a quote from somewhere else in the Talmud. Now, it might be a quote from Mishnah, it might be a quote from a Braisa, but it's somewhere else in the Talmud. Now, take a look there. There's a list. Okay, are there any other asterisks in these lines? No. Look in the Gemara. There's only one asterisk there. Okay, and look in the Masoras Hashas, straight across. There's a bracket, an opening bracket at the beginning of those five lines in the Masoras Hashas. Do you guys see it? There's five lines there. Five lines. First it says Brachos, something or other. I know the copy is not so clear. Then it says Yoma, and it gives us two sources in Yoma. Then it says Megillah, gives us two sources in Megillah. Then Harios, one source. And then I think the last one is Menachos, two sources in Menachos. So in other words, whatever is discussed here in the Gemara, we're going to get to that phrase, and it's one which we should be familiar with, but it appears at least 10 times in the Gemara, or eight times elsewhere, in all of Shas. In all of the Talmud. Okay, that's what we're told there. And we know this because that's the only quote from the Talmud. There's only one asterisk, and it sends us to the left, where we find all those quotations, all those footnotes, if you will, all in one bracket. So in other words, that if they could have fit that all in one line, they could have fit it all in one line. But the margin is not so big. So it's many quotes across the Talmud. Okay, so let's go back to where we were before. Chad Amar, okay? Chad Amar, you guys with me? It's the first two words in the line under B'ma'arava, okay? Now we have to find our next clear pause, okay? What's going to be our next clear pause? One thing that we've noted many, 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 many times. And it's actually two things that we've been noting. They're combined. Okay, good. A vav and a repeat. So the vav is the vav. That's the first word on the next line, first letter on the next line. And the repeat is this word. Taima and vitaima. Okay, so that means that everything that follows the word taima is going to be part of one phrase, or at least that leads into one major pause. And then it just becomes a question of how we break down these five words. Okay? Ta'ama. Now, what do you think the next thing stands for? Dalet Beis Shin. What do you think that stands for?
Beishama.
Okay, De, correct. Those of you who said Beis Shammai is correct. De is a prefix.
According to?
Yes. I mean, an easier translation would be like of. So, Ta'ama De Beis Shammai. So now the question is, what does the word Ta'ama mean? Okay, so in
essence?
No, it's not what it means here. Okay, so in Gemara language, a ta'am is a reason. Actually, in Hebrew, it often means that too. But in Gemara language, that's what it means. Okay, so ta'ama to Beis Shammai means the reasoning of Beis Shammai. Now again, if you don't know what the word ta'ama means, what do you have to do? Look it up in a dictionary. Okay, that's what we have. Thank God we live in a time when we have amazing dictionaries. So ta'ama to Beis Shammai. So there's a reason of Beis Shammai. And then we just have three words left. And so they're going to be together. So now we have to figure out what that phrase is. Keneged Yamim Hanichnasin. Okay, we know that we're pausing there because of the vav and the repeated word. Okay, we already determined that. So we have here, Keneged Yamim Hanichnasin. Okay, so remember, what was Beis Shammai's explanation for how we light candles? Start with 8. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now, how would we explain that in English? Let's just talk aloud for a second. Okay, what does that mean?
Descending.
Right, descending.
Countdown.
So it's a countdown. Right, it's a countdown. So in other words, when I light 8, I'm saying how many
days
are left? Okay, because we light at night and then there's a day afterwards. So if I light eight tonight, that means there's 8 days left. If I light 7 tonight, there's 7 days left. Right, it's a countdown. So that's what he means. That's what he says. Keneged Yamim. Well, the word Yamim, I would imagine most of you know. What is Yamim?
Days.
Okay, so Keneged, we'll get to in a second. And Hanichnasin. So Yamim means days. Keneged Yamim Hanichnasin. Well, based on what we just figured out, what?
When it started.
Well, what does Nichnasin mean? Okay, so it comes from the word Nichnas or Knisa.
Enter.
Right? What is entering? What we're entering. Keneged means following or opposite. Yamim Hanichnasin. That what is Beis Shammai's indicator? We're lighting based on
the time, following the day.
Based on the day that's entering, that's coming.
Oh.
Okay, so in other words, we're starting with 8 days left. So I'm lighting with basically, it's a countdown, but that's what Yom HaNichnasim means. How many days are still coming? How many days are still entering? So tonight, for example, where we lit 7, okay, so how many days are left? No, how many days are left?
2 days.
So Beis Shammai would be lighting how many tonight?
Tomorrow.
2, because there's tomorrow. Tomorrow is what? Tuesday? Right? And then tomorrow night you light 1 because it's also Wednesday. It's actually pretty good because, you know, a lot of people, they forget, even though you light the last night of Hanukkah, they always forget that. Not people who go to shul. People who go to shul, no, you continue to say Al Nisim. But many people who are not so knowledgeable about their Judaism, they think that you light the Hanukkah candles and Hanukkah's over, right? No, but there's a whole full day. So, what's the repercussion of there being another day of Hanukkah? Well, it primarily relates to davening, benching, and just however we view how we celebrate Hanukkah. Okay, we continue to say Al Nisim, we say Hallel, right? I mean, you know, we say Al Nisim and davening and benching, etc. Okay, so Beis Shammai is actually pretty good because it's in that sense because it's saying, yes, I'm lighting tonight, but I still have another day. So that's in that sense, there's a lot of sense to that, and especially nowadays. Maybe that would be beneficial to people to remember that. Okay, so that's him. So what do we have left? If we understand the reasoning of Beis Shammai, this is only according to one of these rabbis. Okay, remember, because Ula is telling us that there's a debate between them about how do you explain Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So the first one says this is the reasoning of Beis Shammai based on how many days are left. And so what's he going to tell us next? The Tama to Beis Hillel. Okay, so we should know exactly because that we saw before. Tama de Beis Shammai. So this is going to tell us Tama de Beis Hillel. When does the Beis Hillel explanation end? Okay, where's going to be the next clear pause? Okay. I heard Phil say it. Anybody else? Where's the next clear pause based on everything that we've been doing? Repeats and Vav. What? What did you say, Michael?
I said bar.
I think you went too far.
I went too far?
Yeah, you definitely went too far. Are you on the right line? You're on the right line. Okay, but make sure you have to correct the time of the Beis Hillel, and you didn't lose the place. Okay, we're on the time of the Beis Hillel, which is equal with the big word mitzvah in the right side in Tosfos.
You're right, I went too far.
Okay, so you went too far. So we're on that line that's equal to that. So where's the next clear break? Phil already got it. Anybody else? After Hayotzim or before Hayotzim?
After.
Okay, at V'chad Amar. Correct, okay? So V'chad Amar, that's a repeat. We already saw V'chad Amar. What else do you notice over here? Tama de Beis Hillel, Kineged, Yamim, Hayotzim. What was the Tama de Beis Shammai? The reason for Beis Shammai was Kineged, Yamim, Hanichnasim. So now it's basically the same thing. It's just a change. Okay, so now let's talk aloud before we try to figure out how he's explaining Beis Hillel. So what is Beis Hillel? Beis Hillel says that tonight we counted 7, which means that what happened? Is this a countdown?
No.
No, what is it?
Counting.
I'm counting how many are done, how many are gone. Okay, so there's 7. 7 are done, that's it. Or, I mean, at least, you know, tomorrow. So the 7th night is done. That's what he's, I've finished my 7th night. Okay, so what does that mean? Keneged yamim hayotzim. It's based on, or opposite of, or corollary to, the days which yotzin, which have gone out. Okay, which are done. Okay, so that's the first explanation for Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that Ula is telling us in the name of one of these Rabbi Yossis. Okay, I mean, I would imagine that it's the first Rabbi Yossi that he mentioned, but obviously he doesn't identify it directly. There you go. Okay, so now we go on to the next part, and guess what? The form is going to follow everything that we just saw up until now. So it should be easy for us to at least break it down. Translate different story, but break it down. Okay, what's the first thing that we see? V'chad Amar Tama de Beis Shammai. Okay, everybody with me? Is that clear? Chad Amar Tama de Beis Shammai. We've already seen that. Yes?
Yes?
Okay, so the other guy, because we already saw it once. Even though Chad Amar means one says, you might translate it loosely and say, and the other guy says, because we already saw that one said. Literally it means and one said. So one said and one said. That's how things work in Israel today. right? Chanamar v'chanamar. In English, we would say one guy said and the other guy said. And you wouldn't say one guy said and one guy said. But that's the way Hebrew and I guess Talmudic language works as well. So v'chanamar, the second guy says, Tama de Beis Shammai, that the reason for Beis Shammai is? Okay, where's the next pause? Okay, after Achag. Everybody sees that? Because we're going to see Vitama de Beis Hillel. It happens to be spelled out, so that's clear. Everybody with me? Okay, so now we have to figure out what these words are. So I heard some people read it incorrectly, so that's why you have to have a little bit of knowledge of phrases, but if you don't, then you ask somebody. Because if you look at that, so Keneged is the same word we had before, that it's opposite or parallel, correct? We saw that before. So now we have two words. Now, Hachag, everybody got, I think. What is Hachag? The holiday. What's the middle word? Okay, so what does that mean, Jerry? What does that mean? Translate the word.
It's free.
Right, pre is fruit, the fruit of the holiday. So does that make any sense? Makes no sense. So let's try to read that word differently. To quote Vizzini from The Princess Bride, you fell for one of the classic blunders. Okay, anyway. What's another word to read? That's another way to read the letters. Pei, resh, yud. Don't get it. Get your head out of fruit. This is not fruit. Okay, so what? I'll give you a hint. It's a plural word. So what's the base word?
Par.
Par. What is a par? It's an animal. What kind of an animal?
I was about to say
yeah,
it.
Say
it. Doesn't make sense.
No, 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 it does. But say it. What is it?
A cow.
A cow, correct. Okay.
It didn't make sense either.
Well, now listen. It's going to make sense in a second. Par echad ben bakar, ayil echad keves echad ben shnasol liolah. What have we been reading? The whole... No, not Rosh Chodesh. This is the Hanukkah reading. What's the Hanukkah reading? The Hanukkah reading is... Right, okay. So now, that happens to be the gifts of the Nisim, the gifts of the princes, the Hanukkah reading. Okay? But Pare HaChag means the cows, or the bulls, rather, that were brought on the holiday of Sukkot. Okay, sacrifices. Okay, now, that relates to an understanding of the history of Hanukkah and how the Hanukkah, the truth is it doesn't really have to, but it happens to relate that Hanukkah, the concept of the 8 days of Hanukkah relates very much to the 8 days of Sukkot, meaning 7 days of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. Okay, so that's one thing to note. But if you read in Parshas Pinchas, where you have the Pari HaChag, where the offerings of the holiday of Sukkot are presented to us. So, I don't remember. I think the first day starts with 13. That they would, when they would bring the Karbanos, they would bring on the first day of Sukkot 13 cows. Okay, we can look this up. I have the Torah reading right here. Okay, 13. And then on the second day, on the first day of Chol HaMoed, how many bulls would they bring? 12. Okay, and then each day it descends. Okay, so what's the point? Well, how would we describe that?
Oh, when you get to the end.
Is that a count up or a count down? No, at the end you have 7.
Yeah.
But that's fine because over the course of the Yontif they were supposed to bring 70. So that's why it starts at 13 and it makes its way down. Okay, fine. But here, so let me just read to you that part. Here. Parim b'nei bakar shlosha asar elim shenayim. So that's what they would bring the first day, 13 bulls. Then on the next day, they would bring 12 bulls. Okay, and that's what Pare HaChag is. Pare HaChag means the bulls of the holiday of Sukkot. Okay, the word Chag, usually, if it stands alone, it usually refers to Sukkot. That's a Talmudic lingo. Okay, it's the Gemara Shavuos is usually referred to Talmudically is referred to as Atzeres, and these are the kinds of things that you just pick up over the course of learning. But again, Pari HaChag is referring to the bulls of Sukkot. So what's the point that Beis Shammai is according to this explanation of Beis Shammai that how do you count when you're doing something important?
Down.
Descending. Okay, that's the point. Okay, right, 8, 7, 6, 5. Because that's...
So this is his evidence.
Right, exactly. That's the evidence. That when you're doing something important, that each day you do a little less. But you start big. You start big, and then you slowly wean yourself off. Okay, so that's the first explanation. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Everybody with me? It's two lines under where the word mitzvah is in the Tosfos, okay? V'tama de Beis Hillel, and the reason for Beis Hillel, okay, we know that's a pause there. Now, where does his explanation end? Okay, so there's a vav there, right? Malin b'kodesh. Okay, ve'ein. Ve'ein. So malin b'kodesh is certainly one phrase, because you're not going to say b'kodesh ve'ein, right? Ve'ein means and not. So it's not holy and not. Okay, good. So ma'alim b'kodesh, you go up in holiness. Kodesh is holy, and ma'aleh is from the word al, to go up. Okay, where's the next break? Where's the next breakdown? Okay, ve'ein moridin. Okay, how do you know that? Because the next word is amar rabba. Okay, amar means is introducing a new speaker. So this is actually a phrase which we often put together. Ma'alim b'kodesh, ve'ein moridin. Okay, then what does that mean? That we go up in holiness and we don't go down. Other than Beis Hillel's opinion, where's another classic example that we have, also from holidays that we're all familiar with, where we go up. We go up. It's not a countdown. It's a count up. Sfiras Omer. Okay, Sfiras Omer. All right, so it should be a countdown. 8, 49, 48. Come on, we're getting towards Matan Torah, right? No, we count up. Ma'alin B'Kodesh, we go up in holiness, V'ein Moridin. So now, if you're familiar with that phrase, I'm sure some of you have heard it before, Ma'alin B'Kodesh, we go up in holiness and we don't go down. Well, that's the phrase that the Gemara utilizes 8 other places in Shas. Okay, because there are other discussions about this concept of Ma'alin B'Kodesh, going up in holiness, V'ein Moridin, and we don't go down in holiness. Okay, now, what does that say about me? How could Beit Shammai disagree with such a concept? Right? How could he? What's the answer? Well, he proved it. Right? Pare hachag. So yes, you can have a concept that doesn't mean that it's universal. Doesn't mean that it's always that way. There are different ways of understanding how we count and how we do things. So yes, it's a machlokas, it's a debate. And is Beit Shammai's opinion legitimate? According to this explanation?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is Beis Hillel's opinion legitimate? Absolutely. Okay, but that's why it's a debate. Because they're both legitimate viewpoints. So just because Beis Hillel throws a zinger of Ma'alim B'Kodesh doesn't mean that Beis Shammai is wrong. Why do we follow Beis Hillel? Because Beis Hillel were the majority. Okay? So it's not because Beis Shammai is wrong. It's not a question of right or wrong. It's a question of, you know, they're both right, but which one do we possibly like? Which one do we follow as far as their opinion goes? Okay. All right. Is everybody comfortable with how we've been breaking this down? Okay. So the hardest thing which we saw tonight was that confusing word, parei hachag, and therefore the concept of parei hachag. So again, when you read something which just doesn't make sense, I remember this happened a lot in my yeshiva days. I'm talking to my chavrusa and I'm reading it one way, and he's like smacking me across the face. He says, "You idiot." Like, I said, "It doesn't make sense." He's like, "You're right, because you're reading it wrong." So you have to realize, if it doesn't make any sense, like, you know, the fruits of the tree, it doesn't make any sense. So you have to learn how it can make sense. You have to try a different way.
Well, without the reference, this didn't make any sense either.
Okay, fair enough. I got it. But sometimes you have to realize that there's something that I'm missing because I don't know, right, and something that does not make any sense at all. Okay, when you see the word chag, you know it has something to do with a holiday. Something to do with a holiday. Okay, so let's say you just read it as priachag, the fruit of the holiday. So the only thing that's a fruit of a holiday, there are two things that are fruits of a holiday. What? Okay, so an esrog. Okay, so the priachag. Well, esrog. Okay, can I come up with any connection to Hanukkah from an esrog? Nothing. Okay, maybe you'll say, no, the fruits of the holiday are Shavuos, the Bikurim. Okay, Bikurim. Any connection? Anything at all? No. So then the next step is to realize, okay, there's a piece of information that I'm missing here. Okay, I'm probably reading it wrong, and there's something that I don't know, and I need to find out. Yeah. Yes. Okay. And right. And that was the next thing I was going to say. Okay. So now, if you Jerry points out very nicely, if you go to where the Mesoros Hashas is, the top thing that's in the Mesoros Hashas. Remember, that's the left column, left margin. Go to the very top of what's written there in the Mesoros Hashas. In other words, right where the big space is towards the top, and look to the right. Okay, I'm pointing to right over here. You see where this thing is over here? Okay, look over there. That's the Rashi. Okay? Right? It's a Priyachag, right? Okay, well, it's not Priyachag. We already discussed this. Let's take a look. Mismatim The holchim mismaatim means we go smaller. Ma'at means little. The holchim and go bekarbanos deparshas Pinchas. Okay, now at the very least, if you read through that whole thing, you're going to recognize the words Parshas Pinchas. Okay? And you'll probably recognize the word Karbanos. Karbanos. So if you see Karbanos to Parshas Pinchas, then you're already getting a hint. That's where Rashi is essential. Rashi helps you in telling you that this has something to do with the Karbanos that are in Parshas Pinchas. Okay? So now it becomes a question of, okay, well, if we're talking about Karbanos, let me take a step back. Is this word pre, fruit? No. Karbanos means animals. Animals, pare. And then it's a question of figuring out what is chag. And again, if you know that chag means sukkahs, then it's an easy connection to make based on the help that Rashi gives us. Okay? Okay. Okay. All right. Let's move on here. Let's move on. All right. We're up to Amar Rabba. Okay? That was the part where we left, where we just left off. Okay, where is going to be the next major pause? Amar Rabba. Bar Chana.
Yeah, right after that. It's Amar Rabba.
Okay, Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay, is Yochanan the end of his name?
Yes.
Everyone agree? Okay. So let's take a look at that phrase. Amar Rabba Bar Barchana. Okay, so I don't know why a fellow's name is Barchana, but there are some people named Ben Zion, right? I remember there's a friend of mine whose father's name was Nechemya Ben Zion. That was his father's name. So whenever he'd get an Aliyah, his name is Tzvi. Tzvi Ben Nechemya Ben Zion. I'm like, what, you get your grandfather also? No, his father's name was Nechemya Ben Zion. Rabba was the son of Barchana. That was his name, Barchana. I don't know why his name was Barchana, but that was his name. So Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, that's Rabba, the son of Barchana, speaking. And when it says Amar Rabbi Yochanan, it means that he's saying something in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, he's quoting Rabbi Yochanan. And you see this all the time in the Gemara, where you're going to see that somebody says something, and then they don't say anything, and somebody else talks. So it's actually the first guy quoting the second guy. So Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, that's the first person's name. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba Bar Barchana is saying something in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, that's just a stylistic thing you have to get used to. Okay, that sometimes you're going to see that when he's quoting something in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, Shnei. Oh, so let's find the next pause. Okay. Let's find the first major pause. Okay, why do you say that? What?
Two old people were.
Don't translate, Jerry. Yeah, we got to work with everybody here. Okay, why would you say that? There's a pause there. What's the indicator? What? We haven't discussed k. So it's right afterwards. Everybody else is saying the vav after. On the word ve'echad. Okay? So that's a pause. Because it's not kibe shamai ve'echad. That's not a connecting vav. That's a breaking vav. Okay? So that's our indicator. So now we have to work with everything that came before that. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We had Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And now we have, I'm just going to read it without inflection. Shnei zekeinim hayu bitzidan echad asa kibe shamai. Okay? That's what we have. That's what we have. So now we have to break this down into phrases. What does the word shnei mean?
Two.
Zekeinim. Older people. Okay? Two older people. Hayu.
Were.
Bitsidan. Okay, so bi.
Next to each other.
Well, what does bi mean?
In.
Okay, so if there were two elders in the next word, sidan. Sidan is going to be the name of a place. Okay, whether it's a city, whatever it is, but it's the name of a place. It's an identified location. So there are two elders in Tzidan. Echad, one, Asa, did, or does, Ke Beis Shammai. Okay, in other words, following the opinion of Beis Shammai in terms of how to light the candle. Now, you see what I just did there? One did like Beis Shammai. What does that mean? Well, we all know what that means, but if you're learning it, you talk it out. One did like Beis Shammai, which means that the first night he lit 8, the second night he lit 7, the third night he lit 6, etc. You talk it out, because otherwise you can lose track. What do you mean he did like Beis Shammai? Like some other debate? No. Like the debate about Beis Shammai that we were talking about. Okay? And now let's look at the next phrase. Where do you think the next pause is going to be? Okay, why do you think that that's a pause?
Because
we've been using two major reasons to tell us where a phrase begins and ends.
It ended at Beit.
Okay, I should say three. We saw an indicator like the word Amar, okay, when somebody speaks. We've seen a Vav. What's the other thing we've seen many times?
Name.
Not a name. A repetition. What did we see? Chad asa kibay shamai. Ve'achad asa kibay sil. That's a repetition. So clear, right? One does like Beis Shammai, one does like Beis Hillel. Okay? Now, what are we going to do? Now, we're familiar with everything we're about to see. Okay, but again, it's the Gemara's way of showing and of supporting what has come before it. Why is the Gemara giving us Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan? He's giving us that to support that which came immediately before. Now, that's not always the case. Sometimes it introduces a new idea. But in this particular case, as you're about to see, it's basically going to be repeating what the Gemara told us before. So, but the point is that he's giving us an anecdote. Up until now, we saw Ula explaining the two Rabbi Yossis trying to explain Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That's what we saw up until now. Remember that? That's how we started today. Ula says there were two guys who explained Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yossi A and Rabbi Yossi B. Or Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin and Rabbi Yossi, so it's really A and Z. Bar Avin and Bar Zveda. Okay. So Rabbi Yossi A and Rabbi Yossi Z. And each one gave us a totally different explanation for how Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were thinking. Okay? That's what we saw before. The first one was about days going out versus days going in. The second one said, Pare HaChag, right? Like the Karbanos of Sukkahs versus Malin B'Kodesh. The aim of reading, that we go up in holiness. Okay, those are the two Rabbi Yossis. So now the Gemara is giving us an anecdote that Rabbi Bar Chana is telling us in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, a story about two elders who were in Sidon. One followed Beis Shammai, and one followed Beis Hillel. And now let's see how the Gemara explains exactly what that means. And we've already seen this, so we can read it. We should be able to read this easily. Zeh. Okay, that's the first word. Where is the next break after Zeh? Okay, well, Phil points out the Vav in the very next line on the word Vizeh. Ooh, repeat. Huh? Right? Zeh? Vizeh. So everything before Zeh is going to be our first thing. But take a look at what it says. We actually know this. Zeh no sein ta'am. What does ta'am mean again?
Reason.
Zeh no sein. This one gives a reason. Lidvarav to his dvarim. What is dvarav? To his words. Okay, that's basically Hebrew. Keneged parei hachag. We know this, right? What is parei hachag? That you descend with numbers. Vizeh, and the other guy gave, in other words, we're talking about two elders. We're talking about an anecdote. One gave the reason for what, in other words, why he's following who? Who's he, if he's doing parei hachag, who's he following? Beis Shammai. Vizeh, and the other guy, the other elder, no saying ta'am l'dvarav d'malim b'kodesh v'maridin. You read through this, you say, oh my, I know this, or I know this Gemara, I already read it. It's the same phrase, we saw this before. No saying ta'am l'dvarav d'malim b'kodesh v'maridin. Does everybody see how, when you follow, if you're paying attention to what you've read, in this case at least, you know, it becomes almost a joke to work your way through this Gemara.
The
chiddush is that it's anecdotal. Up until now, the example that Ula was giving was two opinions, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi. Okay, and now he's taking one of the views of, in other words, one of the Rabbi Yossis, the second Rabbi Yossi, the one who said that Beis Shammai is Pari Achag, and Beis Hillel is Malin B'Kodesh, and he says that that's what these two elders use as their explanations. So there's two things going on here. One, it's showing us a practical usage of both the opinion of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, because one was lighting in ascending and one was lighting in descending. But it's also showing us a preference for one of the explanations of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Okay, in other words, there were two explanations for Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. One explanation for Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was countdown, count up. Okay, days leaving, days coming in. But what is this story showing us? Which explanation are these two elders using? The count up, count down? No. No, they're using the second view that Ula gave us, the second Rabbi Yossi, which is that Beis Shammai says you do it in descending because of, fill in the blank, because of the Esrog. No, I'm just kidding. Because of the, right? Because of the Karbanos, right? The descending order of Karbanos. There's a precedent that you do things in descending order. And Beis Hillel's view was that you go in ascending order because of the principle of right, Ma'al and Bekodesh. Okay, so in other words, this story with these two elders is supporting one of the views of Rabbi Yossi that had been shared to us with Ula with an anecdote. Okay, that's the point. That's the point. So in essence, this story is telling us that Rabbi Yossi, number one, forget about him. You know, that explanation is cute, but it's not the real explanation. The real explanation is what these two elders were giving us. Again, not to say that the first one isn't a decent explanation, but clearly this is the preferred explanation.
Okay, it's a preferred explanation, but it's still going down.
No, the Beis Shammai view is still going down, and the Beis Hillel view is going up.
Right.
Okay, like I said before, the Beis Shammai view is not illegitimate. It's not wrong.
I just outvoted.
Correct. Okay, we paskin like Beis Hillel because they're a majority. But Beis Shammai's view is a good view. And as I argued earlier, maybe today it would be a better view, so people would remember that this is the last day of Hanukkah. Okay, let's look at the last part. Okay, we'll see how far we can get here. Okay, what do we see here, folks? It's the way we began. Tuf Resh. What does that stand for? Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, let's find the next break. Let's find the break. Oh, no vavs. This is killing me. No vavs. What are we going to do?
After
Beso. All right, let's try that. Let's see what it does, okay? Let's break it down. Why do you say that? What's your evidence for that break? What's your evidence? Okay, so the truth is we have a challenge here because based on everything that we've learned so far, the first clear break is 2.5 lines down. You see where there's the vav on the third word on the line? Ubshas. Up until there, we don't have a break. We don't have anything. We don't have any repeats.
Names.
Do we have any repeats?
No.
Okay, so we don't have any repeats. Okay, so this is going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge. Okay, what?
In this sort of like a condition.
Okay, all right. That's fine. But as we're going to see, there is one kind of repeat, but it doesn't. So Jerry makes a very good point about im. So im means if. So that actually is going to be a break spot for us. I want to point out one repetition that we have, and that is. Look at the middle word on the line here, on the line that has the asterisk. Okay, what's the word lehanicha? Look in the next line below it, the next word. Manicha. You see that?
Yeah.
You see the lehanicha in the middle, and then below it you have be'aliyah, and then the next word is manicha. Okay, so that is the closest thing to a repeat that we have here. Okay, so now what does it mean lehanicha and manicha? That's the question.
When is rest finishing?
So menucha is resting. So this is actually it's two forms of it's the same verb, but one is the actual verb. Manicha means
sounds like it's more he puts finishing it than resting.
Right. No, but I don't know how to explain grammar. That's my problem. But the mem tells us what the person is actually doing. Look at the lehanicha. Look at the word before it.
He
mitzvah. Mitzvah lehanicha means the mitzvah is to put it. Okay, to rest it, whatever. To put it, to rest it. And manicha is the verb of the same word, that the person does it. Okay, so that's our, now that's in the middle, what does that mean? Mitzvah lahanicha, manicha, that's the middle of a phrase. In other words, it's a word or phrase taken out of context. So now we have to break it down. We're gonna do this word by word and see if we could figure it out. Ner. Ner means candle. Chanukah. Okay, do those words go together?
Mitzvah.
Ner Chanukah. Do they go together? What do you think? Yeah, the Chanukah candle. Okay? Mitzvah. Mitzvah. Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah. Okay, so that could go with Ner Chanukah, right? It could be. Now let's see if it goes Ner Chanukah mitzvah or Ner Chanukah mitzvah lahanicha.
It's mitzvah lahanicha.
How do you know that?
Because it's two.
Because lamed means two. So Ner Chanukah candle is a mitzvah to place it. Mitzvah lahanicha. So there we have a hint with the letter lamed. Okay, so mitzvah to place it. Well, what now it's telling us that there's a mitzvah to place it. It's going to tell us where. Mitzvah lahanicha. It's a mitzvah to place it. To place it where? What do you mean, to place it? So very nice. It's a mitzvah to place the Chanukah candle. Shkoyach, thank you. Where? Okay, so that's the next part. So let's see if we can figure that out.
The opening of your house.
Al, on. Pesach with a tuf means opening. That's I don't know, there's another explanation for that word. Beso.
Of your house.
Okay. Mi bachutz. On the outside.
No, mi bachutz is
from the outside.
What?
Is for the next, is a break. Before.
Okay, do you think so? Because Jerry pointed out before that the word im means if.
Before.
So you think it's
mitzvah.
Al Pesach Beso?
Yeah.
At the opening of your house.
Right.
And Mibachutz, what does Mibachutz mean?
Outside.
So what is Mibachutz, according to your view, Mibachutz means it's introducing a new idea. What's the new idea? Mibachutz.
So something from outside.
Okay, if it's from outside.
Outside.
Im Haya Dar Ba'aliyah. If you live in an upper floor.
Yeah.
You want to change your opinion? You're saying that from the outside, if you're living in an upper level, something from the outside.
Can it be seen?
So that doesn't, you can't do it from an upper level on the outside, because then you'd be standing in the air. If I live in a fourth floor apartment. Ah, okay. See, now you're thinking, you're thinking a little too, you know, modernish, modern. Okay, so Mibachutz actually goes with what came before.
Okay.
Why? Because, go to Israel now, right? A lot of people, they put their Chanukah candles at their doorway,
right,
outside. That's the ideal. That's the ideal. They do it, I don't know how they did it in the olden days. Every time I've tried to do it, I don't have the glass case that a lot of people have now. But every time, you do it here?
Yeah,
we have a glass case. Okay, so every time I've done it outside,
it blows out.
It blows out. So you have to have something protecting it if you're going to do it outside. So that's why they have that in Israel, and it's very popular to do that. But that's what it says. That the first mitzvah, the ideal mitzvah, is to light it al Pesach Beiso Mibachutz, on the opening of your house and outside.
A source for fuel.
Okay. Okay, so now let's get the next part. Now remember, manicha is going to tell us that you're going to place it. So we know that because of lehanicha. So let's see where it is. Where's going to be our next break? We'll find our next break, and this is where we're going to stop. Okay? Im haya, I'm just going to read it without inflection. Im haya dar ba'aliyah manicha b'chalon hasmucha l'rishus. That stands for l'rishus harabim uvishas hasakana manicha al shulchano v'dayo amar rava. Where's the break, folks? Before shulchano, after shulchano. Okay, I'm going to tell you that there's a better break before that. Okay. Yeah, uvashas. Okay, there's a vav there. Folks, vav. Vav's a calling card. Okay, uvashas. Vav. So now let's go back. From the word im. Im haya dar ba'aliyah manicha b'chalon. Now we saw before that mitzvah lahanicha, the mitzvah to place it, was followed by the answer to the question of where. So if it's going to tell us manicha, what's going to follow?
Where it is.
Where? So manicha is bachalon. In the window.
Right.
Which window?
The one facing outside.
So that's the next two words. Hasmucha lirushis harabim. Okay, now, if you don't know what Reish HaReish means, you have to look it up.
According to the rulings of the...
No, no. Smucha means closest to. Samuch. Samech. Samuch. Close to. Rishus HaRabim means the public domain. Okay, that's a halachic term, Rishus HaRabim, the public domain, which we're familiar with the laws of carrying on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to carry from the private domain to the Rishus HaRabim, to the public domain. That's one of... I mean, if there's an air of a different thing, but... Right, so the first place is at the door outside. And the second one is, if you live on an upper level, you're in an apartment building, okay, and you can't do it outside because that's not where your door is. Your door is inside the apartment building, okay? So then you're going to do it at the window. So let's go back to the phrase. Im haya dar ba'aliyah. So im, if, haya, he was, dar, living, ba'aliyah, in an upper level, manicha, place it, bachalon, in the window, hasmucha, l'rishus harabim, that is closest to the public domain. We know that we stop there because of the vav. Because of the vav. Where's the next break? Amarava. Amarava is a clear one, right? Now there's a vav in the word before amarava. What's that word? V-da-yo. Now it could be vidyo. What's dio? Ink. Okay, now we're going to see if ink makes any sense here. It doesn't. Okay, so what's another word? That's another way to read vidayo. I'll give you a hint. Dai, dayenu. What's dai? It's enough. Okay, so let's take a look. U v'sha'as ha-sakana manicha al shulchano vidayo. Amar. So Amar Rava we know is a break. That's for sure. So now the question is, what's that vav? Is that vav a blue and gold? Or is it a connector? Or is it a major pause? So let's go back. So manicha. There's another repeat, right? Manicha. Manicha tells us you're going to place it. Place it what?
By the window.
No. Place it. What's the next thing going to be? It's going to be answering the question of
where?
Manicha. So what's manicha? Al. On what? Shulchano vidayo. On his shulchan. What's a shulchan? A table. Vidayo. What's his dayo? It's not a noun. Okay, dayo means it's enough. Shulchan avadayo, you're done. That's it, you do it on your table. So what's the phrase beforehand? Uvishas hasakana. What's shas hasakana?
Emergency.
Okay, an emergency time. Okay, in other words, if you're in a situation where you can't put your Hanukkah candle at your door, you can't put your Hanukkah candle at your window because it's sakana. What's a sakana?
Dangerous.
What's dangerous? Dangerous because?
By the enemy.
Because the non-Jews who see it say, oh, Jews, we're going to blow up your house. That's danger. Rishas a sakana. Okay, now it's not talking about this danger because the fire is going to catch. That's not the danger we're talking about. We're talking about danger from outside. Then you put it on your table and you close your window shade. So those are the three opinions which you have. At the doorway, at the window, and at the table inside with the windows drawn. Okay, so again, this is... as far as the halachas of Hanukkah, I think that we're largely familiar with these different ideas and the way in which we paskin, but it's nice to see it in the Gemara, not just to see it in the Gemara, but to see how with simple tricks, the only exception was just those last 2.5 lines where our tricks didn't really work, so we had to break it down by phrase. But the simple tricks, finding a vav, finding a repeat, finding the name of the person who's speaking, we can make our way through a Gemara slowly, but we can do it. So yashar koach to you all, because it's a tremendous effort. It's not easy, but you're doing great, and I give you every accolade for making this effort. Okay, yashar koach.